Hello, and welcome to New World Witchery, the search for American traditional witchcraft. I'm Corey.
And I'm Lane.
If you're looking for a podcast on traditional American folk magic, we hope you'll stay tuned.
Today's show is all about relationships, and specifically how witchcraft can help or hinder our interactions with others.
We'll be discussing our relationships with our spouses, our family, and our friends.
Then we'll have our witchcraft and spelled out segments.
All right, so today, all about magic and relationships. Mm-hmm. The premise for this show came to us from a listener email that we received. I'm not going to say the person's name because I didn't ask for permission.
Right.
So we'll just be reading a little segment from that email, which I'll do right now. And this listener says, also, you guys have somewhat talked about life with partners who don't share your path, and I think that's interesting because many people face that. Perhaps you could go into more detail on that. How do you overcome spousal jealousy, having a working partner of the opposite sex? Are the two couple friends slash hanging out? How much of your practice do you talk about with your various partners, etc.? It's not really a theme for your show, but that kind of personal stuff is very relevant, and many of us face similar challenges. So, yeah, I think that's an excellent question. So.
Yeah, and I mean, I figure if he was curious, then other people are as well. Mm-hmm. And Corey and I have discussed how kind of odd it is sometimes. So we figured we would discuss it and pull in other stuff about magical relationships, such as, you know, friends, family.
Right, yeah, because the thing about magic, in my opinion, is that when you get into magic and witchcraft, it becomes sort of a lifestyle thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that, you know, it's a lifestyle thing, isn't you need to wear all black and black eyeliner and purple nail polish and you know, carry your little cat around everywhere you go and stroke it. But it really does have this huge impact on almost every area of your life. So it can't help but spill over to your romantic relationships and your familial relationships, mm-hmm. and your platonic relationships.
Yeah. How does it affect your relationship with your wife?
For me, it's interesting.
I think you have a little bit harder than I do, just because my husband is sort of, I would classify as agnostic, with interest in a lot of different ones. Like, he's kind of got his feelers out into learning about a bunch of different ones, but he doesn't subscribe to anything.
Mm-hmm.
And he, I don't, you know, he doesn't ever say, oh, there's just nothing there. Because I think to him, there's proof that there has to be something.
He's a browser, but not a buyer.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways.
Yeah. He's a window shopper.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's fair.
Yeah.
And we should go ahead and say up front, our spouses are fantastic.
Yes.
They're very supportive of us in many, many ways.
Yeah. And I hope none of this comes off as negative towards them, because we don't intend that at all.
Yeah. No, we are really lucky for the people that we have.
Yeah.
So we want to put that out up front. But yeah, I think that, you know, your fella, you know, he's definitely very, very interested in what you do.
I guess I would sort of see it as like a childlike interest. I mean, I hope that doesn't sound mean. Just a...
Do you finger paint pentagrams for me?
No, just, you know, I mean, I've explained some things. We don't ever really sit down and talk about it. I don't know, it's separate.
But you do point out stuff all the time to him.
Yeah.
Like in like you were saying, when you watch Supernatural, you're able to be like, oh, goofer dust, and say,
yeah,
oh, look, there's this thing.
That's very true.
And he's interested in that.
Yeah. But, like, I don't think he's never asked me, oh, well, have you used goofer dust before? Or have you ever made goofer dust before?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think he really thinks to ask those things.
Mm-hmm.
I think he gets that it's a private thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
And not private in that I won't share, just private in that I don't necessarily enjoy sharing that
mm-hmm.
much. I don't want anyone to think that it's like a closed off part of my life and we sleep in separate bedrooms. It's not like that at all. It's just, I have this thing that he's not necessarily a part of, and mm-hmm. we're both okay with that.
But that's interesting, because I think a lot of people would say, oh, but that's,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you're in a marriage, you can't have something like that.
I think
that.
A lot of people would not be comfortable with that. And I think a lot of people, if, you know, I were to be telling someone this in person, I think they would sort of judge me or him for that. But Mm-hmm. That's okay, because we're very happy with how it works. So
yeah, it's definitely interesting because it's hard for people, I think, to understand how these kind of interfaith relationships work.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's true even, you know, for, you know, a Catholic and a Jewish person dating.
Right.
You know, they have a lot of differences they have to overcome.
They have a lot of dogma to get through.
Yeah. And I mean, spirituality really does affect people at a really profound level. It's the same thing as like a political leaning can affect people at this really profound level.
Yeah.
And if you don't share that with somebody, making that deeper connection in a marriage, you know, some people are like, oh, well, you're not really in love with that person. You're not really, you know, connected to that person because you're not the same in that fundamental way.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually seen that in very specific web forums talking about how they don't think that, you know, especially like a pagan and a Christian can be compatible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
I think you've read that
forum. Yeah. I've come across that a little bit. Yeah.
but yeah, they're saying, you know, they can't be compatible because at this fundamental level, they're just too different. And eventually that's going to pull them apart.
But to say that is to say you are just pagan. And for example, your wife is just Christian and you're not, you're so many different things. You're so like, you're an amalgamation of so many different things. And yes, pagan is a big aspect, but it's not the only aspect.
Mm-hmm. And the thing that my wife and I are able to work out is that we have certain things that do connect us even at that spiritual level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mentioned those Miyazaki films that I love so much that I say, you know, these are my spirituality. Mm-hmm. She's the only person I can watch them with every time and know that she's going to feel a connection to them too.
Mm-hmm.
Because for her, you know, from a Christian perspective, in her perspective, she's looking at it as all of the world is God's creation. And so therefore me having the relationship I do with that creation brings me closer to God.
Yeah, exactly.
And so she...
And I would not argue with that.
And she's very moved by that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's like, oh, that's... And she, you know, she talks... This is really embarrassing, but she talks to her parents all the time about, you know, about me. And she's like, Corey's very... I think the word she uses are servant-hearted, which is, I think, a Christian thing,
uh-huh,
to be a servant-hearted person.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting to see, you know, because my idea of being, you know, a servant is I'm a servant to the needs of this world of spirits that I serve and that, you know, I try to work with in the world around me, and I think that's what she sees, and so that's what she takes away from it, and she really appreciates.
Mm-hmm.
And so that does, it bonds us, it you know, bonds us together because she loves that part of me.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's not the same as her spiritual belief, she loves that I have that spiritual belief,
right?
And I feel the same way about her. You know, I'm like, you know, I go to, this is probably one of those things that shocks people.
Mm-hmm. It shocks me a little bit. It does. I'll be very honest.
Yeah. I go to church with her.
But I respect it.
Yeah. Every once in a while I'll sleep in on Sundays. But that's like a 2-3 times a year thing. And otherwise I go to church with her every Sunday and I go to the service and to the Sunday school, the Bible study. And, you know, I participate and I discuss. And from what I can tell, you know, they all know I'm not Christian. For some reason, I'm sort of the resident Catholic expert because I think most of them haven't seen a Catholic in real life before. They've mm-hmm. only seen them in zoos.
Yeah.
So they sort of turn to me whenever they have a question about, you know, oh, well, what's the Catholic belief on this? And I'm like, I do not have the pointy hat. I do not have the little white thing in my collar. From what I remember, it's this.
Right. You only know that because of your mom, right?
Right.
She was Catholic.
Exactly. Because I was raised, you know, like 65% Catholic,
right,
in that capacity. And then 35% a mix of Presbyterianism and Methodism. Weird. So, you know, I participate in that part of her life and it touches me. You know, there are some of those hymns now that I hear them and I, you know, I get misty. I start to really feel
I love old hymns. I grew up in the Church of Christ, which I've said before and I think is on a blog,
mm-hmm,
and the About Me info. And, you know, you may not know, Church of Christ goers don't believe in instruments in the church.
Mm-hmm.
So all the hymns are, you know, sung in like
a cappella.
Yeah, like, yeah,
yeah,
no instruments. They're in like 3-part harmonies and they're just gorgeous.
Oh.
Now, I mean, I'm not going to get into that belief structure and or anything about it. I don't want to just like, I don't want to pick apart Christianity, but that's what I was raised in. And you know, like I said, it just, I do really like those hymns. Now, there are some parts that still give me, like, shudders. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that I do not have good associations with, but the hymns I do. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, I can be singing Washed in the Blood of the Lamb, and I'm happy, but even right. though, you know, like, when I stop to think about it, I'm like, that's, no.
Yeah. Or the We're Marching Onward to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. Yeah. Yeah. And, like, you hear these things, and and they're really good, like, they're really good songs. I mean, in completely ignoring lyrics here from right. my perspective. But even the lyrics, sometimes, like, there's some, Morning Has Broken. There's this beautiful hymn called Morning Is Broken, which is all about celebrating the rebirth of the world every new day uh-huh. and how it's this beautiful revelation of God's creation. And, you know, God shows up maybe twice in that whole hymn. Mm-hmm. And every time we sing it, I'm like, I love this hymn.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I come away from it and I have this deeper appreciation of her because of that connection.
And another thing that I've noticed that has really benefited you from going to church is that you have so much history and knowledge of the Bible mm-hmm. that you can sort of, this is going to sound negative, but you can sort of like use it for your own means. Like,
I'm behind enemy lines.
Exactly. No, seriously. It's like when you were telling me that it was one of our earlier podcasts, I talk like we've done 50 now. You know, we're only on one, number 9.
Almost in double digits. Almost there. Woo!
But anyway, one of our earlier ones, you had, you know, said someone had asked you if you had found Jesus or something, and you were able to actually, like, school them on stuff. And yeah. I just kind of think that's really awesome.
Yeah, and I am not an expert on the Bible.
No, at all. I'm not saying that, but you know a lot more than I do, that's for sure.
Oh, thanks. But yeah, it is really, like, it's because, you know, it's the Church of Christ is what I'm going to.
Oh, that's right.
And so it's very...
See, I was a lot more backwoods Church of Christ. I think they're a little bit more modern.
This is a very progressive Church of Christ. Like, yeah. the preacher...
So you're lucky in that, right, too, that you go to a yes. pretty progressive church.
Very progressive. And, like, the average minimum education of the church, of a church member there is a master's degree.
Wow.
So, very, very smart people, which means that I have to really step up my game.
Yeah.
And you know, pay attention and listen and think about what they're talking about so that I can engage with them. Because they're really good people. They're cool people.
Well, good.
So, for Christians, they're awesome. yeah.
Okay, so, we talked a little bit about our relationships with our spouses. So, let's talk about our relationship with each other and how that affects our spouses.
Yeah.
Because for some reason, like, I tell you, if we were both female or both male, it wouldn't even raise any eyebrows. Mm-hmm. But it really throws some people that, you know, that we, you know, quote unquote, work together mm-hmm. and we're both straight and, mm-hmm. you know, male and female.
Yeah, and I think that might come a little bit out of the sort of perception of Wicca over the past 50 to 60 years as a fertility religion.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, and I'm not saying it is or it isn't, it's, you know, I'm not an expert on that either. But because there is definitely a lot of fertility terminology.
Yeah, well, and I mean, just a lot of our holidays, you know, you and I still celebrate,
mm-hmm.
have a lot to do with fertility and, right. you know, growth and, mm-hmm. yeah.
And so there is, you know, there clearly is a sexual dynamic to that kind of worldview.
Yeah. I would say that even some of the practices we do can still have that undertone a little bit, mm-hmm. but not between you and I, between, like...
Between us and... gods, really, sort of. Or like spirits.
Yeah, I'm not explaining this well at all.
But I know what you're trying to get at, where it's not like when we're doing, you know, these workings, we're suddenly like, you know, like, hey there, sexy woman across the circle.
Right. It's not like that at all. I feel very brotherly.
Mm-hmm.
Sisterly and brotherly, I guess.
Yes. It's a very sibling kind of thing, but there is definitely a sexual energy that can come up in the workings we do, but it's not directed at each other, weirdly. It's directed much more at this other sort of spiritual side of things.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, like, we've discussed treading the mill before. Mm-hmm. And that was almost, like, people use the word ecstasy. It was, or ecstatic, like, to mean, like, happy. Mm-hmm. But I mean it in, like, the original form of the word. Like, it was
ecstasis,
almost...
Yes.
Yeah, it was almost, like, an ecstatic,
mm-hmm.
feeling afterwards, just because.
Yes.
It was so powerful.
Yeah.
And we were both like breathing heavily, and then like I later realized how kind of oddly sexual it kind of seemed, and to an outsider, I think it would have seemed very. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know how our spouses would have taken it, you know, because they don't really know what we do. Or do they? Do you tell Kate about what we...
No.
A lot of what we do?
No, I'm fairly private about it.
And that's not to say that we wouldn't. I keep wanting to stress that. We are not keeping secrets from our spouses.
Yeah, no, she actually asked me today about something that you and I are doing. Mm-hmm. And you know, I didn't want to go into a lot of details because what we're actually doing is sort of a mystery thing anyway.
Right.
But, you know, I was able to be like, okay, well, you know, this is kind of what's going to be going on, because I don't want her to be, going like, well, why won't he tell me what they do in private?
Right, yeah.
Because it's a trusting relationship, mm-hmm. so you don't want to shut them out. At the same time, I have to say there is something about being in what I would consider sort of a mystery tradition, which is what witchcraft is to me. There's a lot of mystery.
Yeah.
And being in a revealed tradition, which is what Christianity is, which is why you have, you know, revelation.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is done in the open in Christianity. You know, baptism's open, with the exception of Catholic confession.
Right.
And even that is sort of open because you're doing it with another person. But there's a difference because, you know, from her perspective, I can totally see why, you know, it could cause some suspicion, because she's like, well, my religion doesn't require me to do anything that I couldn't tell somebody about. But ours... You know, there are oath-bound aspects. There mm-hmm. are things that we will do that we won't talk to other people about not because we don't want to tell them, not because we're trying to be elitist about it, but because unless you go through it, you don't understand it.
Yeah, that, and also, we've talked about this several times before, when you tell someone, it loses that power.
Yeah, absolutely.
It loses the effectiveness of what you've done.
Mm-hmm.
The more people you tell, the more it gets dispersed. You know, it's like this is a really dumb analogy, but this is what it makes me think of. It's like when you spray a perfume,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, like, if you spray it over one little part, like, on your skin, it's going to stay there for a really long time, and you're going to smell it throughout the day. But if you smell it through the air, I mean, if you spray it through the air, then it's going to disperse, and it's going to go all throughout the room, and you're going to smell it for a little bit, but then it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how I view, like, magic and power and everything, like a perfume bottle.
Good, yes. I'm glad that you find something to put your spirituality to that really speaks to the depth.
God, I'm sure I'm offending somebody. I apologize.
I'm fairly sure we've offended a lot of people by now.
Oh, dear. But anyway, you know.
But I can see what you mean. Like, we want to hold on to that.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is an element of not secretiveness, but it's not hiding, but it's not saying everything.
Yeah.
Like, there, you know, I would tell Kate almost everything.
Yeah.
But she would have to ask the right questions.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely.
Like, if she knew the right questions to ask, I probably would go through it. But because I'd have to have those questions to know that she would understand what I was talking about and where I was going with it.
I can see that.
So, I don't know. It's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, one of the questions that our listener had asked in the email was, are our spouses friends? And yes, they are. We do, like, as, you know, the two couples hang out
mm-hmm.
on a regular basis, you know.
We couple date.
Yeah, we'll have dinner together. You know, we'll go see a movie occasionally. Mm-hmm. We come over. A lot.
We all hang out. We have a good time.
Yeah. And, I mean, sometimes it's just to hang out. It's not because, like, Corey and I are doing anything off by ourselves, mm-hmm. which has happened before.
Mm-hmm.
But,
you know, there are, you know, probably just as many occasions where we get together to watch a movie.
Yeah.
Or, you know, get together to just have dinner. And I think we played games one night. And
we played Scrabble and we played...
Apples to Apples, I think, one night. Yeah.
Yeah, we all definitely get along. And, you know, and his wife and I will hang out. And then my husband and Corey will hang out occasionally by themselves. You know, they'll go see a movie, like a horror movie that the wives don't want to see. So,
because they're wimps.
It's this weird cross.
It is. It's a weird cross-pollination.
Yes.
But, you know, we all have a good time together. We all really enjoy each other's company. And I think that helps as well.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it would be difficult, you know, if our spouses didn't know each other.
Yeah.
You know, there was no connection. And it was just you and I. And, you know, if you didn't have a connection to my wife.
Yeah, that would be a problem, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. That would definitely be a problem. Because I would, even though I'm good friends with her, I still feel not uncomfortable, but just a little awkward sometimes. I'm always mm-hmm. like, I don't want her to feel neglected in favor of me
mm-hmm.
because I am not the most important. And I shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not saying that you treat me like that. I'm just saying I don't want her to feel that way ever. And if she ever did, and then it would definitely be something we would correct.
Right. And that's a really good point, is that jealousy doesn't necessarily have to have a sexual undertone. Jealousy can also be about time.
Right.
And that is something that's actually probably, you know, far more than any, like, you know, possible, you know, romantic sexual tension that could arise. There's this jealousy over, like, you know, really wanting to have time
right
with the spouses, but, you know, at the same time, like, both of us are pretty, like, really eager to do a lot of this witchcraft that, right, that we
and,
love.
And honestly, the podcast as well.
It totally eats up time.
Yeah. Because we do, you know, twice a month, mm-hmm. occasionally more.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes we have fun difficulties and we have to re-record three times over.
Yeah. Oh, that makes me just want to stop and save right now. But yeah, it's, you know, it does eat into our time.
Yeah.
And so we have to be sensitive to what our spouses need
exactly.
from us as well.
At the same time, if my husband did have some sort of religious leaning and, you know, had to go do, I don't know, acts of charity or something like that,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I didn't necessarily want to go along, but he felt, you know, compelled to do it, then yeah, I would probably be like, oh, I'm not going to get to see him today,
mm-hmm.
but I would understand at the same time.
Right.
And I think our spouses definitely have that understanding.
Right.
That we need to do this. It is imperative for us to, like, it's part of us.
Yeah. It's a part of who we are. It's yeah. something that we have to do. I will say, though, that having a baby changes that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because now, if I'm going off to do something, I have to think about the fact that it's not only me going off to do something, it's me going off to do something while she takes care of the baby.
Right.
So it's me turning her into a babysitter.
Right.
So I have to be very aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why a lot of what we do is actually at night after...
Yeah, which is fine by me. I'm the biggest night owl you'll ever meet. So.
Yeah, and once the baby's asleep, it goes back to normal as
right.
far as, like, you know, she can do her thing. The only problem is one of the other of us has to be in the house, but that's usually not a big issue.
Right. So, yeah.
So, yeah, kids change things a little bit, but...
like you would expect.
Yeah. That's a wee bit of an understatement.
Okay, so, and honestly, if you guys have any more questions for us, I'm not going to hesitate to answer, mm-hmm. unless it's, you know, obviously really, really
yeah.
personal.
Yeah, yeah, we're not. Yeah.
But, I mean, if you're curious, then ask. You know, I think because this is something I wanted to touch on. It does feel odd for us sometimes, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it's just so unusual for, the like, a husband and a wife of two separate married couples to be friends, unless you were friends beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Right. And
it's sort of almost like, I would say, taboo in this. I don't know if it's just in this country or what, but
yeah.
it's just a little bit.
It adds
for most people.
It adds a layer of suspicion for
yeah.
everyone. Everyone who encounters
yeah.
it. They
yeah.
see it, they go, well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
With the Stewie Griffin head cocking,
yeah.
turning to the side thing.
Oh.
But yeah. It definitely adds that layer of, you know, like, we have to really explain ourselves.
Yeah. Which I understand, but it's also sometimes it can be insulting, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause it's like, our spouses trust us. Why can't you?
Right. But people don't. I mean, people draw these assumptions or have these assumptions about
mm-hmm.
about, you know, two married people spending a lot of time privately together.
Ah, that reminds me. Corey and I took a bookbinding class together,
mm-hmm.
and because we really wanted to learn more about making our own like magical book of shadows, something like that,
mm-hmm.
and plus it just looked fun. And,
it was fun.
Yeah, it was definitely fun. So we're there and we're talking. We're like, ooh, I want to use this paper for my cover. And, oh, what are you going to use? Oh, how are you going to make yours? And, you know, I did mine post-bound. I don't remember if that was.
We both did.
Okay. And I was like, oh, yeah, I really like that. And, you know, just talking like we normally do. And, you know, we're pretty close. And then we knew that they were going to be magical books. So
we weren't being incredibly obvious about their purposes.
Right. It was really actually pretty funny. And I will admit, I do find it really amusing, the people's assumptions sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And it just makes me laugh. You know, we're both wearing our rings,
mm-hmm.
obviously. And the other people taking the class are like, oh, so how long have you guys been married? And we both sort of like look at each other and we're like, well, we're not married. And then we sort of backpedal and go, well, we are married, just not to each other. And
right.
I mean, these people were very thrown by it.
Right. It was very, kind of funny.
It was really funny. It makes me laugh when that happens, honestly. Like, yeah. I know it shouldn't, but it makes me laugh.
Yeah. It almost felt like it was one of those things where they asked us how long you've been married, and like you were like 3 years, and I was like 4 years or something. And they're like, well, one of you was wrong. No, actually, we're both right. Yeah. So.
And then that happened in another time, another instance.
I think when we were having that, we had my son with me, with us, yeah. And we went to go eat. So we had this baby at the table with us. And boy, doesn't that throw people off.
Yeah, I tell you what, when a man and a woman and a baby go eat, they do not ask if you want the check split.
No, they just
don't. They just bring the check.
And if you ask them for separate check, like they get this look on their face like, oh, I'm so sorry.
No, but I was thinking of that time we went to that craft store.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I will admit right now I love Easter candy with a passion that cannot be described. And it was, I want to say it was like February or March, and Peeps were already out. Mm-hmm. Do you remember this?
I remember buying Peeps.
And I was like, oh, Peeps! And I was really excited, and I got really high-pitched, and Corey was like, okay, we're getting you Peeps. And a woman had walked by, and she sort of like smiled to herself, like, oh, they're so cute type of way. And then you had noticed it, but I hadn't. And uh-huh. You told me about it, and I was like, you know, I know it shouldn't, but it makes me laugh because it's once again, it's sort of like we have a secret.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, we're friends and, you know, we're magical partners, but we're not partners.
Right.
So.
But it does, it throws people off.
Yeah. But it's understandable at the same time.
Right. I'm not sitting there going, oh, they're stupid for right. thinking that.
Right, exactly.
Because it's the most logical. I would assume it. Of course I would
yeah,
assume it.
I would assume it too. I always wonder if your neighbors think that I'm, like, the other woman or something.
Except that you're always, my wife is always here when you're here, or, like, 90% of the time. So, yeah, I don't really worry about, like, I don't really worry about the other woman complex at all.
I don't worry. I think it's funny.
Yeah.
It just amuses me greatly. But anyway. So.
Well, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back, and we'll be discussing some other relationships and talking about platonic and familial and all other kinds of ways to interact with people and stuff and things. I got nothing. All right. But, so please enjoy this and we'll talk to you in a second.
Hi, this is Velma Nightshade from Witches Brew Haha, inviting you to join me each week as I discuss all things witchy. Witches Brew Haha reaches from the controversial topics to the ridiculous reality that being a modern witch entails. From book reviews to hot-button pagan news, from stone and herb studies to practical magic tips and advice, Witches Brew Haha is a bewitching blend of the best a magical life has to offer. Find it on iTunes or at witchesbrewhaha.com. And remember, never be afraid to think outside the cauldron. Blessed be.
And we're back.
We've talked a lot about our current relationships, our relationships with each other, our relationships with our spouses, you know, how those have developed and all that.
Yeah.
But these are not the only relationships we've had
exactly.
as magical people. So let's talk a little bit about, I know you've had a whole bevy of boyfriends, haven't you?
Oh, Lordy. Yeah, I guess I have. I've had some very interesting experiences. The first boyfriend I ever had was Catholic.
And he had a problem with it, didn't he?
You know, it's really funny because I'm friends with him again now, and mm-hmm. we can talk, and he actually knits, so...
Catholic and knits? Yeah. Was he an altar boy by any chance?
I don't know, but anyway, so he, you know, we can kind of connect that way, but, and when my father died, his sister had died a couple years back, mm-hmm. so he was able, you know, we were able to relate on that level, and he sort of emailed me to just say, you know, I'm really sorry. And, mm-hmm. you know, and we ended up discussing like everything 7 years later, you know, it was,
that's good for closure's sake, isn't it?
It was really good for closure's sake, but it was intense. And, you know, I just asked him everything I'd ever wanted to ask him, no matter how like personal or strange sounding it was. But, I asked him, you know, I said, what was part of the reason that you broke up with me? Was it because of the witchcraft thing? And, he said it wasn't at the time, but I think he is misremembering. Because mm-hmm. there were a few times that he was very uncomfortable with what I was saying. Mm-hmm. Like, I have this book of, like, it's almost like daily devotionals, kind of.
Yeah, the Galen book, yeah.
But it's, you know, obviously to a general god and goddess. It's not to, you know.
Anybody specific.
Right, or to, you know, it sounds kind of very Christian, but.
Right.
Anyway, so, but in the back there's a, like a encyclopedia, kind of, like an index of different goddesses that you, that, you know, you might feel a connection to. And Mary is listed, you know, the Christian Catholic Mary. Mm-hmm. And I showed him that because I thought.
Which one?
I thought, hey, yeah, well, the main one, we'll put it that way.
All right.
I thought, hey, that's something to relate over. That's something that maybe he can, you know, look at. And dumb me, it didn't even occur to me that it might be a little bit offensive.
Right.
But he was just not at all pleased. He was like, she's not a goddess. It's, you know, this, and that. And
yeah.
It was not good. It was not pleasant. But whatever. He says it was not a problem. He says he even told his mother. And I was like, oh, I was and kind of still am in the closet. Why don't you keep that on the DL there?
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, well, my mom didn't have a problem with it. And I didn't really either. And I was like, well, it's not how I remember it, but.
Didn't you really?
He said his mom was pretty cool with it.
I can totally see where he's coming from on that, because I know that Catholics.
I can too now, but really, like I said, I was young and stupid.
Yeah.
I should have known.
They have to deal with that question. Not like, they don't deal with it from the angle you took it, but
right.
They deal with it from Protestants especially. They'll get the constant, like, why do you worship Mary?
Right.
Like, oh, not really worship.
Right.
Just devotion. Slight difference. So. But, okay. And then you had one boyfriend who was incredibly supportive, right?
Of that. Yeah. I mean, he.
And every other way he was foul and repugnant. But.
No, I don't. We just had a very bad breakup, and a lot of it was my fault. And I just. It just kind of hurts me to think about him. So I try
not
to.
I'm going to get the salt. I'm going to just pour that on the wound there.
No, not at all. I mean, he had a lot of issues, and I just did a lot of things that I shouldn't have, and. But, you know, that was how I met my husband, and I'm happy now, so we just leave it at that.
And now he's a toad.
Yes, he thought it was pretty cool. But, you know, he thought a lot of what I was into and sort of about at that time in my life was, like, really cool and fascinating, and I think I was, part of our problem was that I was more of a novelty than, you know, like, someone to actually settle down and get married to or anything like that.
That's interesting.
So,
it's cool that you can, like, recognize that now in hindsight.
I think I sort of recognized it towards the end, which is part of why we broke up. So,
was he putting you on a pedestal or like sort of like a window display?
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah, because I was really into like a certain type of music at the time, and I dressed a certain way, and it was, you know, he just, oh, that's just so cool. And you know.
By this, you mean you were listening to a lot of Garth Brooks and wearing a lot of plaid shirts?
Yeah, let's leave it at that.
Okay.
I don't know which is more embarrassing.
With the cowboy shirts with the embroidery on them.
Oh, yeah.
Those are actually hip now.
I know. But,
Who knew?
I think the witch thing on top of it was just like.
It was sort of like, look at my girlfriend, the witch.
Yeah.
As opposed to, this is my girlfriend and I really love her. It was much more like, look at her, and here's some interesting facts about her.
Yeah, exactly. Because I was, like, the first serious relationship he was ever in, I'm pretty sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, he had been with a few other people, but not seriously. But I wasn't very active in practicing then. It was kind of a weird time for me. So, this was like, my
cold spell?
This was my, like, freshman, sophomore year of college.
Where you identified as that, but you weren't really acting very much in that way.
Right, because I had lost all the people that I practice with.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Right. Yeah. It's that cold spell thing.
Yeah. I mean, that was hard for me. So, but anyway, he did get me probably one of the best books in my library, that, Judith Isles book.
I know Encyclopedia of 5,000 Spells.
Yes.
Which we've recommended many times before.
So. Yes. I'm trying to think if there was any other, there was, Patrick who I dated,
You're using names now.
Well, I figure. He will never listen to this. And it was not that serious. But he was Catholic as well. He was like hardcore Catholic. Like more so than the first one was. It's just he was younger than I was, even though he was higher above me in school. He was very smart. He's actually probably a doctor by now. He was in med school, so.
Cool.
But But anyway, he was cool with it at first, but then, like, when we started to really talk about where it was going and not just, like, ooh, this is new and you're a really cool person and I like you, mm-hmm. you know, it got to be a much bigger problem. Mm-hmm. So, there went that.
Yeah. But, I mean, in the end, you end up with someone who's really, like, totally cool with it.
Yeah, which is awesome. But it still hurts to think about, like, all the people who pretty much rejected me because, you know, I'm a witch. But
mm-hmm. You know what I think is really funny? I think this is true of both of us. I don't think either one of us have ever dated another pagan or another witchy person.
No, I haven't. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm. And you know, and I don't think there's any specific reason for that.
There is for me. A male pagan who is normal, no uh-huh. offense to any of you out there, but around here, I will say, around our parts. Okay. And by normal, I mean not, like, so wrapped up in it that it's just become strange, is very hard to find.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very hard to find.
Fair enough. That's, in other words, you're, like, finding somebody who doesn't have a lot of baggage, especially at the ages that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, going through the process of severing ties with an older religion, you know, mm-hmm. with the religion you were raised with, then starting, you know, this new branch of spirituality, it takes some time.
Yeah.
So, you know, people are trying to find themselves. It takes a lot of time.
Yeah. Yeah, I was wondered how people who have been in long-term relationships, like, you know, they've been married 30 years, and then suddenly they come to the craft, like one of them does. I always wonder how that works.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, clearly that... You know,
that'd be hard.
Yeah, there's no easy way to deal with that.
Right.
And I mean, I'm averse to it now, but only because I'm married.
Right.
But you know, I don't think I was ever averse to it. I think it
would have been really fun. I kind of wish I had,
mm-hmm.
but you know, it just never happened for me, which is okay. It's just,
yeah.
I think it would have been fun.
Yeah, I mean, it would have definitely, it's, you know, like we were saying at the beginning, you had that deep spiritual connection, that's already there.
Right.
You know?
I think it would have been very fulfilling.
Mm-hmm. So I can definitely see that being a plus.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, it doesn't take anything away from it for me.
No, not at all.
And you know, and there aren't a whole lot of, I mean, there are a lot of witchy people here, but you really have to work to find them.
Mm-hmm.
And like, to be really fair, most of the time when you're meeting people, you know, in that capacity, especially in the area where we are, you're just trying to form either student-teacher relationships
mm-hmm.
or, you know, get to know each other on a friendly basis first. And, it's a train wreck if you try to throw on
right.
anything romantic on top right. of that. So I think it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
What about you? What about your past relationships? How have they gone?
Oh,
because you've been pagan for a very long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so I mean, this is true for me too, though. Like every relationship I've been in, I've been a witch in that relationship.
Yeah, ditto.
So
absolutely the same. Every time I've been in a romantic relationship, I have been a pagan or witch of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
I've been, you know, practicing folk magic and doing crazy hippie rituals.
Right.
You know, as far as my past relationships go, I dated one person who was Catholic, and she was. More or less, she was kind of magical Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
So she was very okay with it and very kind of open to learning about it. She also kind of wound up, I don't know, she was very into fantasy in general.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it never really sank in for her that it was a spiritual thing. It was always right. sort of a, not a play thing, but it was...
I see what you're saying. It's almost like a game a little bit.
And we were very young. So, I mean, it was a novelty thing.
Right.
And I can totally see that. And then I dated, you know, two people at the same time, which was weird. It wasn't cheating. They knew it. They suggested it. I don't get it.
Weirdness.
It was a very weird time in my life. So, no, I was not cheating. I was just involved with two people at the same time because they both wanted to be involved at the same time. I don't understand it, but that's where it is.
Hmm.
One of whom was borderline Buddhist. Mm-hmm. She was very into sort of the ideas of it, and she was very cool with it. The other one was agnostic with certain Christian leanings, and she was okay with it too. It was one of those things where she's like, "All right, you do what you want to do. I just don't want to see anything. I don't really want any." It was just she just didn't want it on her radar, but she didn't want a lot of things on her radar. So.
Ah, gotcha.
Which is it all worked out. And then I dated a very bohemian girl that Ooh. Ooh. Shutting down, ice, pain, suffering.
Is this the one that I know of?
You probably know of her. I don't know if you've met her.
No, not that I've met her, but...
She's a wee bit... No. Super Crazy... Oh, yeah, I have to throw her in there, too.
Yeah.
Super Crazy was the one... She was very Catholic as well. And she went crazy because I wound up broke. It was a long distance thing. She moved overseas and, we were trying to make it work and I broke up with her while she was overseas.
I don't think that's the super crazy I'm thinking of. You have a lot of super crazies in your past.
I've got a couple of them. Now this is and then when she came back from living overseas, she had brought, like, she brought gifts to all my friends because she'd gotten to know my friends while we were dating. Mm-hmm. So she was still very, quote unquote, close with them. And so she brought my friends all presents, like a map of, you know, this country in Europe or a little statue from here. And then she brought me my quote unquote present, which was a bunch of burned lotus petals that she sprinkled on my bed.
Oh,
yeah.
I remember that one. Yeah.
Yeah. That's she was scary. Looney Tunes. She was totally Looney Tunes.
Yeah. That's not who I was thinking of, but.
Oh, who's the crazy you're thinking of? No, geez, names. Just give me some details.
I don't even want to say it on here because it's gross.
Oh, no, she was pretty crazy.
Okay.
But she was the crazy bohemian, and she was she was hippie without being stereotypically hippie.
Mm-hmm.
She was, you know, a poetic person, very, you know, very bohemian. Head over heels in love with her, of course, and wound up just totally getting my heart stomped all over because of that. Not that I'm... Hello, listeners. This is Corey here. I'm delivering my baggage straight to your door. She was very cool with it, but very... not condescending. Like, she thought, well, isn't that cute that you're that now? Once you realize that, you know, all of it's a big lie, then...
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, we'll talk about it more seriously.
Yeah.
So very dismissive of it.
That's unfortunate.
But it was okay.
Yeah, it's fine now.
it worked out. So it's funny, like I went from, I think pretty much everybody was at least in some capacity tolerant of it to somebody, you know, my wife who is in a religion which, you know, actually has specific rules about what to do with witches that involve very heavy, you know, geological formations being hurled at us. So we don't. You know, it's just a weird place to wind up, but yeah. It's a good place to wind up. Well, all right. So we've talked about our romantic relationships, but that's not the only. Those aren't the only relationships that are affected by,
of course,
magic and witchcraft. Let's talk about family. We've talked a little bit about that.
Yeah, we did a little bit about that in the room closet episode. So let's not talk about that aspect.
Mm-hmm.
But
does, you know, do you ever do magic for members of your family? Do you...
No.
You know, if one of them came to you, would you...
None of them would ever come to me, because I don't know.
Even your siblings?
No, they don't know.
But I mean, if they got an inkling and said, hey, I was, you know, I was thinking about this, do you know anything about tarot cards?
I don't know. I don't think it would ever occur to them. I mean, they're younger... They're both, like, you know, one's still in high school, one's still in college.
Mm-hmm.
It just, I don't ever see that scenario happening. But if it did, then, yeah, I would help them out, definitely.
Do you think you would help out your mother if she, because, you know, I know that she has interest, she'd had an interest in it at one time,
mm-hmm.
and she may not inherently connect tarot with witchcraft. So, you know, if she happened to see something, made her go, oh, I want a tarot reading, and you went, well, I know a little bit about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would do that. I would. Yeah. I think she would see it as more like a fun game, though,
mm-hmm.
instead of like a serious thing like we do sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we've done several card readings and we truly believe it and we're serious about it. Like, well, with her, I think she would just see it as like sort of like reading your horoscope in the paper. It would mm-hmm. be along those same lines.
Right. Passes a few minutes.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's interesting.
What about you?
I mean, my magical stuff has affected my relationships with my family in almost no way at all, as far as I can tell.
Yeah.
You know, if any of them came to me for anything, of course I would do it. I'd have no problem with that. One thing, okay, I will say this. My magical relationship with my family has improved my my desire to develop an understanding of my ancestry.
Oh, okay.
Like, that aspect has completely changed, because now, you know, I'm trying to do a little bit more genealogy, you know, look back at who my ancestors were, try to figure out, you know, where I come from.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I would have done that without magic being a part of my life.
Really? Mm-mm. I think it's interesting, but I don't necessarily come at it from a magical point of view, just because I never really knew anybody who died until my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my dad was very, very Church of Christ. So it just, I don't connect ancestry with my craft that much.
Right.
Like I do in the general sense, but like.
But for you, they're almost spiritual ancestors as opposed to blood relatives.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Now, I mean, I still would like to do some research and maybe say, oh, this person was like.
Had some interests.
Yeah. Like, oh, there was some stories about this family member, like this great grandmother back this way. And that would be cool.
Mm-hmm.
But,
And who knows? That's kind of how I'm seeing it. Like, I found out I have a weird tangential connection to somebody who was, one of the first witnesses in the Salem witch trials through that. I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean anything.
No, that's so cool though.
But it's, you know, it's there. And so it is one of those things where I'm like, oh, I really want to figure out, Where do I come from based on that?
Yeah.
So I think that part of my family relationships has been deepened by magic. What about platonic? Do your friends generally know? Do they not know? No, well, even beyond knowing, you know, how does it affect that? Do any of them ask you for spells?
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, one of my friends, I don't think she would mind being mentioned. She actually has had just a lot of... just some roller coaster type stuff going on, like very good highs and some very low lows.
Mm-hmm.
She's had two people die in her family within the past week.
Whoa.
Yeah. A cousin who was very young, younger than her, and, you know, and a uncle, a great, I guess, her grandfather's brother.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just, but then she's also got a 4-year lawsuit that was going on from where she, so, you know, stuff happened. I don't want to go into it, but, that finally got resolved in a really good way. Mm-hmm. So she was like, you know, bad things happen in threes. I can't take another death. Can you please just do something to help calm my life? And I was like, I'll see what I can do.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then, I have another friend who is very Christian, very conservative, very Republican, but we're such good friends that, like last night we went out and had dinner, and she was like, so what are you doing tomorrow? And I was just, like, I didn't know what she meant. It had never occurred to me that she meant witchy-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, well, not much, you know, just hang around the house, why? She's like, no, I thought, you know, there's, like, a holiday tomorrow, right? And I was like, you remembered.
You've been reading Wikipedia.
And you know, I think I mentioned to her like earlier in the day or in the week or something, but it made me feel good because she actually cared, you know, and I was, you know, telling her a little bit about what we have plans to do after this podcast is over and it was really cool. It was very nice. So
nice way to sneak that in there. All the listeners are wondering.
Yes.
If you're writing in.
Mwah.
Mwah.
Overall, I have very positive platonic relationships when it comes to, like, dealing with magic. And honestly, it helps that about half of my friends are witches anyway.
That's a good point.
My close friends.
Yeah.
So, what about you? How about your friends?
I mean, definitely a number of my close friends are... Well, I say a number of my close friends are witchy. You know, you're definitely witchy, and you're one of my closest friends.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got the other pagan group that I do a lot of work with, and they're, I consider them very close, and so they're witchy. Other than that, I don't have a lot of witchy friends.
Mm-hmm.
My closest friends are a sort of agnostic, semi-pseudo-Christian actor.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got a gay Catholic friend of mine who's just wonderful. And it's funny, like, he's definitely gay. Doesn't hide it, very open about it, still goes to mass fairly regularly, and, you know, is more or less accepted there, you know, it's cool.
Yeah.
Granted, his family, you know, makes up about a third of the church, so they're not going to kick him out.
Yeah.
Because there ain't a lot of Catholics around where we are.
No, there's really not.
It's kind of slim pickings.
Yeah.
They take what they can get, and they're all about the body count. And then another one of my friends is a, let's just say she's kind of Jewish.
Yeah.
She's in the process of converting, and has been for a while, really. But so anyway, so yes, she's, so I do have a fairly eclectic mix of friends. And then I've got one friend who's, definitely Christian, but doesn't really have a specific church home. And she's very conservative and, you know, we never talk about spirituality,
mm-hmm.
but it's funny. Like a lot of us will talk about spirituality and we all are very patient with each other and tolerant and
mm-hmm.
have no issues with each other. And I have them ask for spells a lot. And I've loved doing them. I think mm-hmm. they're a lot of fun. Some of them work better than others.
Yeah.
You know,
would you ever do a spell for your friend or not necessarily for a friend, but, I guess
on a friend. To a friend.
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not, would I?
It's have you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think they're listening to this. If not, I'll be getting emails tomorrow. Be like, was it me? What'd you do? I was wondering where this third arm came from. Why do I suddenly feel like eating flies in a swamp? Because I'm a witch and you're going to be a frog.
So you don't feel guilty or anything about that? No,
but I have a very different, I mean, I don't have a lot of ethical hangups about who I have spells on and why.
Right.
At any rate, yeah. So I have a really healthy relationship with them. They do ask for spells and I'm happy to give them. Sometimes I'll do spells, you know, to help them out even without them asking, just because I think it needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's just a lot of, I have one friend who is, I mean, an utter atheist to the point where, like, you know, some people are Bible beaters. He's kind of a Dawkins beater or mm-hmm. a Christopher Hitchens beater. And he even asks for spells.
Really?
I know.
That's interesting.
He's like, just do what you can.
Hmm.
So, you know, I think it's really interesting. I think it's really fun to be the witch in those groups.
Yeah.
So, gives me a role, gives me a function.
I guess that's about, you know, all we have to say.
Yeah. So that's relationships. You know, we'd love to hear about what you all are going through as far as your relationships. Do you have healthy relationships, you know, romantically, platonically, familially? How does your witchcraft affect that?
Yeah. One thing I'm always very interested in, because it's so different from what I have, is like mom and daughter type stuff, who are mm-hmm. both witches. I would just be very interested in hearing about that and how it works and the openness of it, I guess. So
she's just got this pining look in her
eyes.
Yeah,
sorry.
It's far away, misty space. She's like, oh, if only we were on the Isle of Avalon together. Priestesses of the old wakes. Mother and daughter joined as one.
Oh, Lord, I'm not that bad.
No, she's not.
But anyway. But so, yeah, we want to hear from you, is all we're saying.
Yeah, so tell us what you got going on. And that's it. All right, we're going to take another little quick break, and then we will be back with our segments on witchcraft and spelled out. So, talk to you in a second.
Hi, I'm Saturn, host of the podcast Pennies in the Well, where we journey into the depths of the human psyche and the far realms of magic for the joys of spiritual development. You can find me by doing a search on iTunes or Podcast Alley, or visit my website at www.penniesinthewell.com, because there's nothing quite like slipping into the well.
Media Astra Octera. Media Astra Octera.
I'm Oriah the Sphinx from Media Astra Octera, a podcast for witches, magicians, and others of the occult persuasion. Join me for a thought-provoking blend of magic, witchcraft, and natural science as we explore worlds both inner and outer, above and below. You can find the show on iTunes or at sphinx.libsyn.com. And I hope you'll join me in standing Media Astra Octera.
This is Witchcraft with me, and today, you know, we're going to continue that theme of relationships and how we sort of relate to them through magic. And one thing that Corey and I were talking about, because we were really trying to think of something for this segment this time, that we both thought of that we feel is kind of cheesy, but at the same time really makes sense,
it's totally cute.
Is friendship bracelets. Yay. And I don't know about you guys, but I did these a lot in elementary school, and I'm actually still pretty good at them. I remember all the different, you know, variations. And, you know, it's really interesting because it's like Corey said earlier, you're binding yourself to this other person using not magic, pretty much, is what you're doing.
So you're binding yourself to this person.
Yeah.
Can you explain that? Tell us about it. Like, okay, as a guy who was a boy.
Mm-hmm. So like, did you ever do these at all?
No, I don't remember ever doing these. So, one, I'd love to know kind of what the process is. Okay. Two, I remember them being really brightly colored.
Yeah.
Did the colors mean anything?
No. You just did whatever colors you liked.
Okay.
At least at my school. They could have been different at other schools. But I remember that for one of them that would always look really cool, you take about however many strands you want, you know, I think four was a good amount.
Is it just thread?
Yeah, it's like embroidery floss.
Oh, okay.
And you tie them all together in a knot at the top, and like you would tape it down or put it through a safety pin and hook it to your jeans so you could, you know, thread it through. And you would take the three strands, and then around those three strands, you would, this is so hard to explain without actually having the thread in front of you, but you would tie just a simple knot around those three and, you know, push it up. And then do it again. And so the knots, the way they form, they spiral around. Uh-huh. And then you stop with that color. And then you pick up the other color. And then that, the original thread that's on the outside is now on the inside. And it does spaces of color with the knots traveling around the bracelet.
Mm-hmm.
So that one was a really cool one. And yeah, there were so many different variations that you could do. You know, some people just braided them if you didn't know the knotting. But
was there, like, was being able to braid them, or being able to knot them, was that, like...
Yeah, the more complex, the more awesome it was.
Mm-hmm.
And if I remember correctly, like, some people would come to me and some of my friends to have them make one for them and their friend.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
You're already sort of, like, a little rich.
Yeah, now that I think about it, like, we had, like, we were really excited about that, and we thought it was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And, there's not much else to say about it. I just think it's interesting. You know?
You know, we're talking about it. You know, it's definitely a way for kids to get into a type of magic and all that. But do you think adults could get something out of it? How would adults make friendship bracelet work?
I made one in college for a friend. Like we, and I didn't even think of it like that at the time. But yeah, I would definitely like to make one now and you know, just sort of see how that works. One practical application I can see for using it now would be if you had kids, was to make one and use, you know, colors that were, like, protective to you and have it as a bracelet or, you know, a necklace for them as sort of like a protection type of charm and something that you made. And I think that would be pretty cool.
Oh, that's interesting.
Or another thing, and this is, like, we're going to be talking about this a little bit more, is if you had something like a piece like hair from someone else that you wanted to stay close to or something, you could knot that into the bracelet.
Yeah.
That'd be neat.
That's okay. This is totally a random aside, but one of the movies that I raved about, Spirited Away, one of the Japanese movies I raved about in that media episode, there's a whole scene where she's at the house of the swamp witch, and the swamp witch has taken her in and is showing her how to weave this little thing.
Oh.
And it's basically friendship bracelet, only she winds up putting it in her as like a hair tie.
Uh-huh.
And by the end of the movie, after she's gone through all this experience, it's the only thing she gets to take back to real world.
Oh.
So she, and like, it's the last thing you see in the movie is her turn around and the glint of light off of the hair tie.
Interesting.
So you know that she actually did go through all of that and it wasn't all in her head.
You know, now that I think about it, we did those in our hair too.
Mm-hmm. I think that's really interesting.
Yeah.
Like, just, I love that. Oh, I love that magical connection to,
yeah,
to that.
Cool. And it also makes me think, just going back to the movies that we loved, and you know, our last podcast, you know, in The Craft, when, who is it? It's Rochelle, who is,
she the swimmer?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and she's, you know, upset about the other girl, like, being really mean to her, and, you know, racial slur type stuff. Mm-hmm. So they grab her hair, and then they braid it into her hair, and it makes the mean girl's hair fall out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another, like, braiding and, you know, involved with hair again. That's,
Well, let's get into that.
Yeah, so let's get into that. Okay. Another interesting thing, relationship-wise, that Corey and I kind of talked about and thought would be interesting to talk about is how people used to exchange locks of hair.
Mm-hmm. As a token of love.
Yeah, love or friendship. I think they do it in Anne of Green Gables. Mm-hmm. I was never a big reader of that, but I'm pretty sure like they talk about it or it happens.
Like maybe Anne cuts off one of her braids, I think.
Yeah, something like that. I'm sorry if I'm butchering it for people who love that series.
I know in the movie Willow's wife gives him a lock of her, a big braid of her hair.
Really?
Before he goes off on his adventure, and that's very sweet. So, well, what about stolen hair, the rape of the lock? You know, the Alexander Pope.
I had to read that, yeah.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's a pretty powerful thing to have of someone's.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, a friend of mine got her hair cut short and had a ponytail of her hair that was too short to give to Locks of Love or anything like that. But for some reason, she kept it. Like, she just kind of thought it was interesting or something. But we had come across it when I was helping her clean her room when we lived together. And, you know, we've been friends since we were really, really young. She was actually one of the ones I made friendship bracelets with. I said, oh, you know, that's interesting that you kept that. And I said, you know, you know, you might want to do something with that. Hair is really powerful in witchcraft. Mm-hmm. Like, if someone got a hold of that, they could really screw you over.
Mm-hmm.
And, or, you know, I also brought up how I think it's cool that, you know, people used to exchange locks of hair.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, well, here, you know, you can have some of mine. And I was like, you know, I was really taken aback. I was like, are you sure? I mean, that's really personal. And you know that, you know, I can do something with this if I so choose.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, you know, I trust you. That's fine. And I still have it. I have, you know, it feels, it's nice to be entrusted with that, you know?
She's exhibited very few froggish tendencies since you've had it.
Exactly.
She's not much of a toad.
She only ribbits a little bit. But,
Yeah. And then, I mean, and of course, we have to mention the creepiest and most bizarre version of this.
Yeah.
Hair jewelry.
Yes.
Which I think was really big in the Victorian era.
Mm-hmm.
Which is they would either weave jewelry out of hair.
Yeah.
Or they would, you know, enamel or put jewelry in, like, glass work.
Mm-hmm.
Put hair in that and wear it around. Sometimes as a token of, you know, oh, this is my distant friend who I'm just remembering. Or sometimes it's like, this is someone who died.
Right.
And I want to keep a little piece of them with me at all times.
Right. So. But, you know, I was thinking about it. People still do that.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, when, like, baby's first haircut.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people keep the curl and they'll put it in, like, the baby book.
Yeah.
So, I think that's interesting.
Because that first curl, that first baby hair is very different than the hair that eventually grows in.
Yeah.
I wonder if it has a different magical property.
I don't know. That would be interesting to look into or to experiment with, I guess.
I wonder if it's sort of like magical stem cells. Like, if it can be used for, like, any like, it's got every possibility.
You killed me.
Didn't even need your hair to do it.
Magical stem cells, oh my god.
But no, I do sort of wonder, you know, because it's that, you know, that first innocence, the locks of first innocence.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm sure it's got some little potency in there.
Yeah.
Or it could just be, you know, one of those things that because it's the downy fuzz covering everyone has, it goes, you know, doesn't have much effect. I don't know.
Mm, I don't know. I think it's still potent today, even though we don't really do it anymore. I think it'd be interesting to do, like with magical friends, is what I'm saying.
Right, to exchange, like to do the friendship bracelets with the hair knotted in it, so everybody has a little piece of somebody else.
Yeah. Like I totally wouldn't mind giving you a little piece of mine. That sounds weird, but to say it out loud. But.
Well, that just takes the theme of this episode to a whole new level. So, yeah. So then I would have a lock of your hair, you say.
You probably already do. I should.
Actually, I haven't looked. I wouldn't know because your hair and my wife's hair, you know, on a couch looked the same.
Yeah, that's true.
So
anywho, that's it for witchcraft. Hope you got something out of that.
Yeah. All right, and I will be coming in here in just a second with my spelled out segment, so stick around. All right, thank you for joining me for Spelled Out. Tonight, I thought since we were looking at relationships in this episode, I'd focus on a couple of relationship spells, looking at two different sides of relationship magic. First thing I'll be discussing is a separation spell, or more specifically, a separation powder, which is a type of hoodoo powder used in hoodoo or root work spells to separate a couple. And the second thing I'll be looking at is a fidelity spell for a couple that maybe is trying to reinforce their bond. Alright, the first thing is separation powder. This powder is fairly common in hoodoo. It's used by a fair number of root doctors. The basic idea is that you would get, say, like a figural candle of a married couple, which they sell at a lot of different botanicas and hoodoo shops. And it just looks like a little, sort of like those little cake toppers that you see on wedding cakes, where it's a man and a woman side by side, and they come in a variety of different colors for a variety of different purposes. For a separation spell, a black pairing would be the norm. And you would dress it with this separation powder and burn it down. And as it burns down, it would separate the man from the woman in the candle form. And then going out into the world, it would also cause separation between the man and the woman in the real world. And the basic idea, the basic way that these spells work is that the separation powder will cause the couple to fight. Causes them to get very, very passionate. They get into very passionate arguments. They fight all the time until finally they can't stand each other anymore and they go their separate ways. That's the basic idea. And in these separation powders, usually you'll find ingredients like red pepper flakes or cayenne pepper powder, habanero pepper powder, black pepper is pretty common. You'll also find things like galangal root, which is also known as little John to chew. Sometimes you'll find things like cinnamon or ginger in there as well. And the key there, if you haven't guessed, is that all those ingredients are hot ingredients. They all lead to an intensification of heat between the two people, an intensification of passion and emotion. And there's not really a positive herb among those, so it's just leading to a lot of heat, which, when combined with the separating candle, is going to lead to this sort of argumentative state. You want them to fight like cats and dogs, and in fact, there are several hoodoo spells that involve getting a little bit of black dog hair and black cat hair, and you mix that into the powder and use that as part of it. Or you add the powder to oil and add the dog and cat hair in there as well, and a name paper with the couple's names written across each other. And then you shake up that bottle full of oil with the separation powder and the dog and cat hair in it. And every time you do that, it's going to spark an argument between the couple, and they'll get more and more fed up with each other and until finally they can't stand it anymore, and poof, the relationship is gone. So I know that that kind of a spell is one that many people would have qualms with. And I'm not advocating that you do or do not do this spell. I certainly think you should think about the consequences of your actions before meddling in people's love lives. People in love are incredibly unpredictable and prone to do some very irrational things. You may think you're just leading people to separate, and in fact, one becomes violent or dangerous during the process, and you don't want that on your head at all if you can possibly avoid it. And I also know there are a lot of people who say, you know, you just generally shouldn't meddle in people's lives like this for any reason. But I would say that I can certainly see a justified side to this. If you know a couple is really no good for each other, maybe he is a bum, just a complete and total bum and a mooch, and she doesn't realize that she's better than to be with him, better off without him. And she's just clinging to the relationship because it's been there for a while. I can totally see that, you know, you'd want to, you know, help that person out of that relationship. Or you know, it might be a situation where one member is verbally abusive or might be, you know, just a sort of a real drain on the other person, holding them back. And you might want to interfere in that situation as well. I would say, you know, if it's physical abuse is in the picture, you know, the separation working, you might do that, but you might also exacerbate the situation by doing it. So, you know, try to get your local authorities involved, your local crisis line, or somebody that
can really put an end to that abuse immediately. That's really what you want to do. So that's the separation side of it. On the other side of it, you have fidelity spells. Now, fidelity spells are designed to help a couple, ostensibly a married couple in a lot of older hoodoo-style workings, but really it could be any couple that's got a good solid history together. It's designed, these kinds of spells are designed to make it so that one partner is not going to go off and cheat on another, or more importantly, that the partner that's more prone to wander doesn't feel the need to anymore, doesn't, you know, feel the need to get out there and be flirtatious or put him or herself in harm's way, so to speak, as far as fidelity goes. And this spell is incredibly, incredibly basic, and I love it because it's so simple. All you do is take a used sock of the party that you're trying to keep at home and tie it into a good tight knot and slip it under the mattress. That's it. That's the simple, basic functionality of it. The way that works, first of all, you're taking a personal item of theirs. You want the sock to be unwashed. Theoretically, you could use almost any clothing that they have worn recently that really, you know, has a good bit of them in it. An undershirt works really well. Underwear, of course, works great. And when you're tying a knot in it, you're binding them. You're holding them tight. They're not going to be able to go off and do anything. If you think about, you know, with underwear, you might be doing it because you're trying to bind their bind whatever's in his or her pants, you know, keeping them from feeling any urges in that way. With the sock, I think it's really interesting because it's a very literal and yet very metaphorical kind of thing. You're tying a knot in a sock, which is sort of a casing for the foot. So you're binding their feet so they can't wander away from you. So I think that's kind of an interesting way of doing a fidelity spell. Again, it's no substitution for professional help if professional help is called for. But, you know, if you're aware that your partner is kind of a flirtatious person and you just want to add that little extra insurance on your part to say, I want to be able to trust them, and the only way for me to be able to trust them is to know that I've done something on my part to keep them from wandering. So you would do a spell like this. It's very, very simple. I think I've said that 1,000 times already. But it's effective because you're taking something very personal. You're doing something incredibly symbolic by tying a knot in it. And you're stashing it in the most intimate place in your home, which is the bed that you would share with this person. And that sort of triplicate of events really just seals the deal on this fidelity spell and makes it so that what you've done is a very, very powerful love binding. You know, that's two sides of sort of the same coin as far as relationships go. I know a lot of people have issues with both of these spells because both of them are fairly manipulative. They're definitely interfering with that person's desires. So I can understand, you know, people have issues with that. I personally don't have so much of an issue with the fidelity spell because I think that's, you know, there's a lot of people who just want that reassurance that their partner is not going to wander. And once they have that, they're so much more relaxed and comfortable around their partner, and their partner responds to that, wants to be with them more. I'm not saying it's a purely psychological exercise because I think there actually is a magical side to it, but I definitely see the psychological impact of it on the spell caster, or at least the partner that's trying to make his or her mate be faithful. I can see that has some real comfort levels to it. And then with the separation powder, again, you know, there are certainly cases where I would consider it justified, though that is definitely something that is a bit trickier. It's a bit more of a sticky wicket, as it were, when you start messing with separation spells. But that's it for my spelled out segment. I'm also going to just go ahead and close up the show for today. We really, really appreciate you listening to us, and we really appreciate all of the feedback we've been getting. We've gotten some amazing reviews on iTunes. I think we're up to 14 really, really great reviews So if you've left a review on iTunes, I don't have the names in front of me. I'll try to get those for the next show because I've been meaning to thank everybody by name who's given us a great review. But thank you so much for that. All the people leaving messages on the blog, we've got just a phenomenal interaction on the blog. We've got some other bloggers such as Saturn from Pennies in the Well has been leaving some really, really intensive blog posts. Sort of blog posts on our blog. She's just had some great responses and some really great interaction. We've had just a couple of really remarkable people sharing a lot of great information. Just off the top of my head, I'm trying to think of a few of them. I know Chet inspired a blog post recently with one of his comments. Got somebody on there, I believe her name is Jay. I don't know if I'm butchering that horribly. J-A-E, I think is how she spelled it. Has left some really insightful comments. Really, just everybody that has been responding on there. Ginger, I think you've responded. Just so many people. I'll try to get some of those names as well, just so that I can thank you all in person for, or not in person, obviously, but thank you all by name for contributing. We're so thankful to have that kind of interaction. It's better than we could have hoped for. It's a phenomenal feeling to look at that blog and see all these people discussing what really I would have been perfectly fine throwing the stuff up on the internet and thinking, nobody's reading it, but it's there for me if I ever want to go back and look at it. And it's gotten so many people talking, and that makes me so happy because I think there really is a desire to know more about this new world witchery stuff. And I think that's great. It just makes me so happy to be a part of that. At any rate, I'll stop rambling now. We really, really appreciate you listening to the show. Hopefully it's not too long. I think in the end it'll be over an hour, but hopefully not too much over an hour when I'm done editing. And also be looking, we've got a little special that should be coming out either immediately around this podcast, right before or right after, that you should enjoy as a little Walpurgis Nacht May Eve treat. And we'll be back in a couple of weeks with a regular episode, hopefully with an interview, somebody fascinating and interesting, as always, for you. And until then, if you want to reach us, you can find us at the blog, newworldwitchery.wordpress.com. Or email us at compassandkey@gmail.com. And so for now, I'll sign off and say, as always, thank you so much for listening, and be well. New World Witchery is recorded using GarageBand on Mac. The song you're listening to is Homebound by the artist Jag, from Cypress Grove Blues. It can be found on magnatune.com. Magnatune, your source for PodSafe music. Thanks for listening.